Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry. Lori Walsh is off today. In South Dakota, over 17,000 people are affected by Alzheimer's disease. It's America's sixth leading cause of death and affects more than 5 million Americans and more than 16 million family caregivers. Early detection can make a big difference in managing disease-related challenges, but many families struggle to take that first necessary step. Ruth Drew is the Director of Information and Support Services with the Alzheimer's Association and joins us now on the phone from Chicago. Ruth, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you very much.
And Ed Ortiz is a caregiver for his mother who is living with Alzheimer's. Ed, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
So, Ruth, we'll start with you. I think most people at least have a vague idea of what some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's are, including probably most clearly loss of memory. But can you run us through to start off with some of the signs and symptoms of early Alzheimer's?
Sure. In the early stages, people do have memory issues oftentimes. Short-term memory is most prevalent. In addition, there may be confusion, disorientation to time and place, difficulty doing complex tasks, difficulty with problem-solving activities, maybe changes in mood, behavior, or personality, as well as sometimes changes in the way a person perceives what they hear and what they see. So it can look different from one person to the next, but we do see a variety of changes that are not within the normal ranges, not just normal aging.
Mm-hmm. And how is Alzheimer's diagnosed or differentiated from other issues?
Well, the diagnosis is a complex process of first screening to see if the person is having these cognitive difficulties and then ruling out other things that can cause these kinds of symptoms and ruling in that which is consistent with Alzheimer's disease. There are now also some biomarker tests that can be run that can help with diagnosis as well.
Mm-hmm. Ed, when it came to your mom, when did you first notice that something was a little off?
I think we started noticing maybe 7 or 8 years ago that she was having memory challenges and behavior changes. And then I think there was a situation where she was driving her car at a stop sign, and she just couldn't figure out where she was and where she was going. And I think that kind of situation was very startling for us. It was a real situation. The sort of the memory and the behavior changes were sort of gradual. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as extreme, but once she had that one instance at the stop sign, it really helped us understand that we needed to get her medical attention and find out what was going on.
Right. And Ruth, it sounds like that's probably the case for many families. They have that one particular instance where it's pretty clear that something needs to happen. What are the benefits of early detection of Alzheimer's?
Early detection and early diagnosis are very beneficial to the individual and to their families. First of all, it may not be Alzheimer's. It may be something else, and you really want to know what you're dealing with. If it is Alzheimer's or another dementia disease, you still really want to know. For one thing, this gives the person access to medical treatment and the medications that help with symptoms. So many people do better with those medications. They don't cure the disease or delay it, but they do help with symptoms. And people tend to do better the earlier they start with those. In addition, people then have a voice in how they want to live their lives, and families can come together and make plans for what happens now and also what happens in the future. Another thing is people may want to participate in research, in clinical trials. We know that the first people to get effective treatments for Alzheimer's will be people who are participating in clinical trials.
Mm-hmm. And so the Alzheimer's Association this year is partnering with the Ad Council on a new campaign really geared towards family members and caregivers. What can you tell us about this campaign?
Well, we're so excited to be working with the Ad Council on the Our Stories campaign. And people can find information and find these stories at alz.org/ourstories. These are real stories of real people like Ed and his mother who are talking about what they first noticed and how they started the conversation. If early detection is important, well, then where does that start? Well, it starts with family conversations. We know family members are often the first to notice, and even though this isn't a conversation that people tend to want to have, it's a conversation we need to have.
Mm-hmm. Ed, how did you go about starting that conversation?
Well, so it was really that episode at the stop sign that really scared my mother, and when we had that conversation, we knew we needed to seek medical attention, and it was really helpful to go through a process where there was an evaluation, a cognitive evaluation, several tests, and along the way we had the opportunity to learn more about the disease and to understand what my mother was going through. It was so important to be able to detect and diagnose her condition early, because it did give her, as Ruth is pointing out, the opportunity to make a lot of decisions about her own care and about her planning for the future that is so important even today. She's, 7 or 8 years into this now, and we're all just kind of on the on a team that is taking care of her condition.
Mm-hmm. And Ed, how important is it to you as a caregiver for someone living with Alzheimer's to hear stories from other people dealing with the same thing?
I think it's tremendously important to hear these stories and to recognize either within yourself or have family members recognize that there may be something going on that needs to be looked into. There's no harm in being evaluated and having it not be Alzheimer's or dementia. And so there's really no downside to addressing any questions that you might have about your condition or your family member's condition early on.
Mm-hmm. And Ruth, back to this campaign, we talked a little bit about some of the resources and tools also available to family members. Can you talk a little bit more about, for someone who maybe notices something happening with a loved one, but they don't really feel prepared on how to really broach that subject, what are some tips that you might have for them?
Well, a recent study told us that 90% of people would want someone close to them to tell them if they saw signs of cognitive decline. But 3 out of 4 people tell us that that's very hard to do. And so that's really what this campaign is all about, to share these real stories like Ed and his mother's story, and then to provide tips. So on that website at alz.org, you can find tips for starting the conversation, information about the disease, information about the warning signs, information about support and help, resources in every community, our community resource finder where you just plug in your zip code and get resources that are close to you, our 24-hour helpline at 800-272-3900 where you can talk to people around the clock.
Mm-hmm. And Ed, after you had that conversation and you've shared this as part of this campaign, what advice do you have for someone hearing this and thinks their loved one matches some of these symptoms?
I would encourage seeking medical advice. Go to your doctor. The conversations like the one we're having today make this conversation more approachable to people. So the more we can talk about it and demystify the process and allow people to feel comfortable even just asking the question of themselves or their family members, I think the better off we're going to be. If we can, early diagnosis, early detection are really the key to helping somebody have a really productive life for a long period of time after diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. And Ruth, are diagnoses of Alzheimer's, are those rates rising in the United States?
Diagnosis rates are rising, and probably due to a couple different factors. One is that our population is aging, and since Alzheimer's is associated with advancing age, or the risk increases with age, that's certainly one component. Another is that the word is getting out, and people are talking to their doctor, asking for a diagnosis, and doctors are becoming increasingly familiar with how to provide an effective diagnosis. So I think all of that is combined to increase the rate of diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. And increasing age is one risk factor. Are there other risk factors that we know of, or are we still in the research phase trying to determine that?
For most people, advancing age is the number one risk factor, but there are others. There are genetic risk factors that, just like family members may have a higher risk for cancer or heart disease or diabetes, people who have family members with Alzheimer's are at somewhat increased risk, but it doesn't mean they will get Alzheimer's. In addition, we're learning more about lifestyle, and there's some large studies currently in place that we hope will yield really meaningful information about things that we may have in our control and what we can do to help reduce our risk of cognitive decline as we age.
Mm-hmm. In that vein, once someone is diagnosed, what are some of the treatment options that families have to look into?
Well, there are several medications that can help with symptoms. So they don't stop the disease or slow it down, but they do help a person doing better, help them to do better in the midst of the disease. So I think of it like if I had a bad knee and they couldn't fix my knee, but I had a cane. Well, the cane is not curing my knee, but I sure walk better with it. And that's what these medications can do. They can help people in the midst of the disease do better. And so that's just another reason why early detection and early diagnosis really is helpful for individuals.
Right. Ed, when you first started on this journey with your mom, what resources do you wish you had at the start of that?
I wish I knew more about the Alzheimer's Association earlier. I mean, it was a learning process as we were traveling through the disease journey. But I will say that I think we are very fortunate. She was diagnosed 7 to 8 years ago. She still lives independently. Of course, we apply more resources to her living situation, and we monitor her a lot more, but she's still independent, and I think that is the value of finding out early that you have something that is wrong, that is at least addressable. So I highly encourage individuals who either feel like they aren't completely feeling right, or if they notice something in their family members, to please have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. And how else has the Alzheimer's Association helped you, since that was one of the factors that you wish you knew more about to start?
Oh, they've been amazing. So they provide a lot of supports, both in terms of direct supports to my mother and working with groups that are in like situations. They support her in helping her contribute as far as being an advocate. And I think for me, I really enjoy promoting that advocacy with her and for her. But the Alzheimer's Association has just been an open hand, a welcoming partner in this. I've probably come in contact with 10 to 15 people from the association, and every single one of them has been very, very kind in offering a helping hand to either understand the disease or to help get my mother into different types of care.
Mm-hmm. My guests are Ed Ortiz, a caregiver for his mom living with Alzheimer's, and Ruth Drew with the Alzheimer's Association, talking about the partnership between the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council. providing more resources to people with loved ones who might be struggling with Alzheimer's, and how to have that first conversation when they notice something might not be quite right with someone. Ruth, in our final few seconds, are there any other resources from the Alzheimer's Association that you want to point people to if they or a family member is concerned about Alzheimer's?
Absolutely. In addition to our website at ALZ.org, I would invite anybody who wants to talk to somebody about what they're going through to call our helpline at 800-272-3900. We've got master's-level counselors and social workers available around the clock. We can provide information about the disease, about caregiving, or just a listening ear.